Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Narang Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Dayam Udhirayet Nasta Prayeshu Fabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service into the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, called The Creative Impetus, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the chapter is called Lord Rishabhdev's Teachings to His Sons. And today we'll read, that's chapter 5, and we'll read text 25. I'll first do the word for word. It's a little different than what's on the board because I will be reading from the word for word. Mataha api anantat parataha parasmat Svarga apavarga adipate. Na kinchit yesam kim u syat ittarena tesham akinchananam mayi bhaktibhajam. Matopi anantat parata parasmat Svarka pavarka dipaterna kinchit Yesam kim yusyat itarena tesham Akinchananang mai bhakti bhajam. Mataha, from me, api, even, anantat, unlimited in strength and opulence, parataha parasmat, higher than the highest, svarga apavarga adipatehe, able to bestow happiness, obtainable by living in the heavenly kingdom, by liberation, or by enjoyment of material comfort, and then liberation. Na, not, kinchit, anything, yesam, of whom, kim, what need, who, oh, siat, can there be, ittarena, with any other, tesham, of them, akinchananam, without needs or without possessions, mayi, unto me, bhakti bhajam, executing devotional service. Translation. I am fully opulent, almighty and superior to Lord Brahma and Indra, the king of the heavenly planets. I am also the bestower of all happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom and by liberation. Nonetheless, the Brahmanas do not seek material comforts from me. They are very pure and do not want to possess anything. They simply engaged in my devotional service. What is the need of their asking for material benefits from anyone else? Purport. The perfect Brahminical qualification is stated herein. Akinchana mai bhakti bhajam. The Brahmanas are always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Consequently, they have no material wants, nor do they possess material things. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 11.8, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the position of pure Vaishnavas who are anxious to return home back to Godhead. Niskin chanasha bhagavat bhajanon mukhasha. Those who actually want to return back to Godhead are niskinchana. That is, they have no desire for material comfort. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises sandarshanam vishayinam athayositam chaha hanta hanta vishabhakshanato pi asadu. Material opulence and sense gratification through the association of women are more dangerous than poison. Brahmanas who are pure Vaishnavas always engage in the Lord's service and are devoid of any desire for material gain. The Brahmanas do not worship demigods like Lord Brahma, Indra, or Lord Shiva for any material comfort. They do not even ask the Supreme Lord for material profit. Therefore, it is concluded that the Brahmanas are the supreme living entities of this world. Sri Kapila Dev also confirms this in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-33. Tasman mai arpitashesha kriyartatma nirantaraha mayi arpitatmanha pumsho mayi sanyasta karmanaha na pashyami parang bhutam akartu samadharshanat. The Brahmanas are always dedicated to the Lord's service with their bodies, words, and mind. There is no better person than a Brahmana who thus engages himself and dedicates himself to the Supreme Lord. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Pandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvetang Savadutang Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitangscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpat Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ebacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhadhar Srivasadi Ghora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I would like to ask for all the blessings of all the devotees, and please forgive any offenses I made during the past few months or even years, and bless me so I can say something to purify myself and, you know, maybe inspire you. So this is Lord Rishabhdev. He is addressing his sons, and he is here describing about the Brahmanas. The main thing of this verse is this last sentence that Prabhupada also quotes in the purport: Akinchananam mai bhakti bhajam. So akinchananam, without needs or without possessions. That is also stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Nasoshati nakangshati. He has no desire and he doesn't lament. And I was watching the memory tapes and Prabhupada said, I am that person. So, of course, whenever I read these kind of things, automatically I think of Srila Prabhupada. He's such a perfect Brahmana. And in this case, of course, I can also not help but think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is mentioned. And because what came to mind when I was preparing for this class is that the Bhagavatam, it's very, it's all these stories about these amazing personalities. It's almost a little bit like fairy tales. And it's a little bit, at least for speaking for myself, it's a little bit far away. It's a little bit mystical. But then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preaching, then it becomes all too close almost. And in this case, he is speaking to his friend Sarva Bhauma, and he is speaking about this this king, very exalted devotee actually, King Prata Parudra. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he refused to see him because, I will give you the translation. Greatly lamenting, the Lord then informed Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya, alas for a person who is seriously desiring to cross the material ocean and engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without material motives, seeing a materialist engaged in sense gratification or seeing a woman who is similarly interested is more abominable than drinking poison willingly. Now, it's a very heavy statement. Like I said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he is Krishna himself, Radha Krishna Nai Anya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, but he is playing the role of a devotee, perfect devotee. I once asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the symptoms that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had, like for instance, I don't know exactly the pastime, but he jumped overboard or he was dumped in the ocean and he was left for dead, and then this fisherman, he captured him and all his bones were like dislocated. And so I asked Kadama Karmaraj, is it actually possible for a devotee to have such ecstatic symptoms that somehow or your bones dislocate? And he said, yes, theoretically it's possible. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the example and he's playing the role of the perfect devotee and in this case the perfect sannyasi. And he's most strict. Like Prabhupada says that all sannyasis, they should always remember the pastimes of Chota Haridas. And what always sticks to my mind is that when they told him that he killed himself because he had been looking lusty at a woman, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw that and he condemned him. And then when Chota Haridas heard that, then he killed himself. And then when they brought the news to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, good. I always remember that because he's like so hard as a thunderbolt and soft as a rose. This is the quality of a devotee. Sometimes devotees, they are, you know, like now I have this flower garland. They're always seen with flowers. And like I'm from Amsterdam, then we have like pink dresses. And sometimes people, they get a little bit the wrong idea. They don't understand that devotee can also be as hard as a thunderbolt. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed that in that incident. And I always, you know, when we discuss these topics, I always remember that. Of course, you know, just to recap that story, of course, later he heard Chota Harida singing, and then, you know, he was very pleased with that. So, but in this particular instance, he said, very good that he killed himself. Of course, we have I just have to tell this story because it just comes to mind. We have a similar incident, of course, in our movement with Vishnu Jaya Maharaj, that the same kind of thing happened, Not really the same, because it was kind of when Prabhupada heard, because it's more or less certain that he killed himself. When Prabhupada heard the story, he said, "Oh, that wasn't necessary," and I think he even started to cry. But what happened is that they were discussing in a morning walk in Mayapur Dham, and they were asking Prabhupada about these kind of things. You know, what should one do when one you know, thinks about a woman, or you know, falls down with a woman, and he says, "And Prabhupada said he should kill himself." And that was basically all Vishnujan Swami heard. I mean, if you have ever heard his bhajans and you heard some stories about him, he was a very serious devotee. So that's what Hari Sari explains. That's what he heard. He went to the back of the group, and he kind of left. And then the next morning, he was gone. And then later, I think Tama Krishna Maharaj describes it on the memory tapes. He did some research, and they saw some. There were some people on a boat on the Ganga, and they saw one sannyasi, and he had a stone, and he threw himself at the back of the boat. That's what Tama Krishna Maharaj is describing, and it was probably Vishnujan Maharaj. But what he didn't hear was Satsvarup question, because Satsvarup then asked Prabhupada, "Should we also do that?" And then Prabhupada says, "No. No, we should." I don't actually remember his answer, but he said something like, "We should just chant Hare Krishna. We should just continue on." And at least that is my understanding of the whole process. That is also why I'm, mustered the strength and the guts to sit here. Is that we just need to go on. And by giving class, I was also discussing it with Gopinath Acharya during the class that he gave, a very nice class, is that by preaching this knowledge, then we get even more purified, and we get also, maybe if we do it properly, we get some, as Gopinath Acharya always very nicely said, we get some grace. So we need to just push ourselves a little bit. Kadama Kamaraj, he explains that we should not be too much in the comfort zone and not too much in the, I don't know how you call it. Sorry? Stretch zone? Yeah. So we shouldn't be too much stretched. I would also like to apologize to some of the speakers and the devotees in general that I've been falling asleep during many Bhagavatam classes. Because I've been stretching myself a little bit too much, I'm really trying to change a little bit of my sadhana, and I will get to that in a minute. Because I I'm not such a super good speaker, so generally what I tend to do is just speak from my personal realizations. But let me just try and finish this particular point. So my understanding is that we just need to keep going. And that's also what Prabhupada said, that wasn't necessary of Vishnujan Maharaj to do that. And of course, it's very exalted, in my opinion, that he did that. It just goes to show. Because that's another thing, when I read this purport, I remembered very much the beginning years of ISKCON. Personally, I also feel that we've gone a long way, and I feel that the movement is maturing. But it's going sort of in leaps and bounds. And I think I said it already a few times in lectures, but I will just say it again, that I was with my Ayurvedic doctor, and he said, "You just need to bounce out. You know, it takes a few months for you to bounce out." And I think that's the same with this movement, that it needs to bounce out. So we go from one extreme to the next extreme, and it just will go, you know, I think it goes on a upscale, it goes up. But while it goes up, it bounces. So it goes from one extreme, you know, very fanatical, Sangatan, Sangatan, you know, we used to remember the German yatra like that, you know, to the other extreme, that we are more introspective. So it needs to sort of balance out. But I do feel that all the time it's going up. I do think it's going up. And we're getting more mature as a movement. Now I lost my point. Anyway, we were talking about that was the main point that I was trying to make, is that we just need to keep going, even though we might, have some problems along the way. That is actually one realization I also had, is that, my condition is Vata, amongst so many other conditions I have. And Vata means generally that he's unregulated, because this is air, he tends to talk much and be very jumpy. So for Vata, it's very important that he's regulated. And what I noticed in my own spiritual life, of course, I feel I'm just beginning, but there's always things that deviate you. Like Sahota Maharaj, he very nicely explained that everybody flies his own plane, and every plane, when it goes from, Amsterdam to New York, then it will deviate a little bit. It can never go in a straight line. But the expert pilot, with the help of the ground personnel, he always puts it back on course. So, and especially the expert pilot, he immediately will keep it on course again. And that's what I noticed in my own spiritual life, that the more I advance, the shorter the time is for me to get back on track. You'll be thrown off track. That's just the nature of the material energy. But the expert devotee, the time between going off track and going on track will be shorter and shorter. The more you advance, that time will get shorter, and the deviation itself also will become smaller. Like if you look at some of our leaders and the sannyasis in particular, you see they have made their lives in such a way that everything is in Krishna. Everything is Krishna conscious. And it also has to do with age, of course. Like when you're older, then generally your family will get pushed more to the background. And we're most of us are still quite young. And then the family, of course, if you're very lucky and your parents are devotees, then you don't have that so much. Although the attachment might still be there. Ultimately, family attachment, it has to be severed at least to some extent, and at least at some stage, especially when we get older. But when we're still young, that especially, like I said, in my case, for instance, then the attachment to family is still very big, and also the demand of the family is still very big. Like, for instance, my father, he left his buddies, and then I have to go to a funeral, and then it deviates you. But when you're more expert, then it will only deviate you a little bit. So that is one of the realizations I wanted to share. So anyway, we have to be very, very careful in associating with worldly-minded people. And for men, in particular, with women. Because we all know this, but I think it's good that we repeat it, or in this case that I repeat it, especially for myself. We have to be very, very careful, because the main reason that we are here is due to this sex attraction. And it's very, very strong. Basically, the whole universe is going on because of this. Everything is basically based on this procreative principle, and it's very, very strong, and to become detached from it, it's not so easy. And of course, we speak about detachment, and this is the I don't want to say exclusive, but we have because the exclusive thing of Krishna consciousness is that we become attached to Krishna. And it's not really exclusive, because of course the Muslims, they're attached to Allah, and the Christians are attached to Jesus Christ. But we really have so much, to say it in an American way, we have so much going for us. We have the deities, we have the worship of the deities, we have prasadam, we have these extended lectures, we have kirtan, last but not least, kirtan, it's so amazing. Of course, in the church they also have this, like especially on Sunday they sing all these hymns, and it's very nice. And the Muslims also they also have this this singing little bit, so they have it, but it's not. I would humbly say that it's not so powerful as what we have. And also Prabhupada said especially when he would speak in public, we have to judge by the result. So he wouldn't condemn them, but he would say we have to judge by the result, and the result being basically love of Godhead. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So we have to test, we have to look. Sometimes devotees say, you don't know if how advanced somebody is, but we can know. And the test is lust and envy. As long as a devotee is lusty and envious, then he is not so advanced. And this, because that's what we're speaking about, we have to give up lust and we have to give up envy. And how we can give it up so easily is if we worship Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Because that's another mistake I make very, very often, that I say the deity. And this is also, I got this from a memory tape, somebody said that, yeah, Prabhupada, the deities will come today, like they were shipped from India. And Prabhupada said, just see, it's just a statue. Because he said the deity, you see. And the devotee said on the tape that he didn't mean it like that, but we have to be very careful. And I know, for instance, some devotees, they always say Radha Gopinath. And this is very nice because it's very personal. So I have to be careful that we don't address Sri Sri Radha Gopinath as the deity. You know, they are here, although we might not be fully aware of it, but they are here. And but yeah, another thing also that I would like to share is that yes, Radha Gopinath, they are here, but at the same time they are also here. I'm reading this Bhagavatam. These are Gopinath's words. We say Krishna, but it's Gopinath. It's the same person. This is the mystical, thing about God, that he can be there and he can be here also. And this is inconceivable. Anyway, so we have to be very strict, and at the same time we should attach ourselves very much to, well, in this case, I would say to the holy names of the Lord. But anything, there's nine processes, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. Any of these nine, Prabhupada generally would say that we would do all nine. And I forgot to bring my notes, but I will just put it in your memory, that one of the main things to do this is to avoid the 10 offenses of the holy name. And I want to stress this a little bit because in Amsterdam Temple we'd always recite them. And I don't mind that we don't do it here because I think it's very nice. We always read something from the Nectar of the Holy Name. But I try to memorize them again because they've gone a little bit rusty. And I feel it's very, very important that we all know them by heart, these 10 offenses. And so I didn't bring them, so I'll just leave it to you as your homework. But it's very important. And one of these offenses is that we should not maintain material attachments. And that is actually a little bit what the lecture should be about. I've been a little bit deviated. But that is really what the purport is about, that we should give up material attachments, niskinchanam, without needs or without possessions. Now, of course, what we many times say is that we have to be practical. And Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, I mean, the famous story, I don't know if it's true, but this is the story, I will tell it anyway, is that he came to Radhakund in a big Rolls Royce, and he came and he stepped out, probably with leather shoes, and actually this is how Prema Siddhi told me this story, and he came out and he said, I will teach you to the Babajis of Radhakund. Now I will teach you about renunciation. So, but of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj, he's the most strict sannyasi. I mean, maybe even only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can top his behavior. I mean, we all know the story, most likely about the mango, that he one time, he by accident ate this mango that his father Bhaktivinoda Thakur had not yet offered. And then his whole life he wouldn't eat mangoes. And in India, this is a big thing. And then whenever somebody offered him a mango by accident, he said, no. Something like, I'm a great sinner. I have sinned, so I am not allowed, or something like that. So he was most strict. So that is really the point, is that if we want to preach that strongly, and we want to engage all this material energy, then we have to be very pure and very strict. Like I always tell the story of the two sannyasis who went to the Côte d'Azur to, there's this famous place, I forgot the name, but it's the French Riviera. And you know this story? No? No, because they never came back. And that is actually the truth. They went there and they kind of, you know, gave up devotional service because it's a very, very materially opulent place. You know, so we have to be very, very careful that we don't push ourselves like that. And, you know, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's warning. And he is the most strict sannyasi. I mean, let's just forget for a moment that he's the personality of Godhead. He is like this sannyasi from a Brahmana family. And he is saying, I don't want to see the king. And he's apologizing to his friend, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that no, I'm not going to see him. So, and this king was actually a pure devotee. So, you know, just see how strict Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. And sometimes I get a little bit disturbed. I'm really working on that. But I'm thinking, like, why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not preach more? Why didn't he go to Europe? You know, then it would have all been much more organized now, you know. But he didn't. And maybe one of the reasons why he didn't is to show us the example that we shouldn't go out of our way. We should just be some simple devotees, and I'm mainly talking to myself because I have this tendency to go a little bit out of my way, preaching to people and, you know, so-called karmis. But the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that we should not do that. I mean, he could have preached to the king and made him a big devotee and made millions of devotees and millions of rupees or dollars or gold or whatever, but he didn't. So this is the example that we should be very, very austere. We should be very, very sober. And I think that, because I asked this also to Dhananjaya, I think the general rule is that we just shouldn't go out of our way. So, I don't know, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very strict. But he had to kind of go out of his way. He was asked to visit the king. Later, I think, if I remember correctly, the devotees made an arrangement and the king came to him and he sort of stripped himself of all his royal dress and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed him. But he made a point that he wasn't going to the palace. And Prabhupada also many times, he said like that, that we don't care for these people. Generally, they would come to Prabhupada. He wasn't going to them. All these people came to Prabhupada. So I think that's the general rule. We don't go out of our way. So if money comes, we'll take it. But we don't go too much out of our way to get money. So I think that is the general rule. So we can accept so much money, there's no problem. But we don't go out of our way. We don't start changing the philosophy. We don't start to dress up, you know, completely, you know, and like that. I think that's a general rule. It has to, you know, be judged by time, place and circumstances and ultimately by, you know, our guru or by the authorities that, you know, can we do this? And but at the same time, we even if we do that, we have to remain very, very careful and always pray to Krishna. And yeah, I think that's the last point, and I'll wrap up. Another thing that we should keep in mind, because sometimes devotees, especially myself, are complaining that, you know, I don't have any money, and then even worse. Then they start to complain, like, yeah, the authorities are not giving me any money. So what I am gradually realizing is that Krishna can give us all the money. And generally what I'm thinking now, that this realization has come throughout the past weeks, is that the main reason why some devotees might not have any money, and this might sound a little bit harsh, but it's because we don't preach. If we preach, all the money will come. This is what Prabhupada said. If we just preach and we have the guts to open a temple or to just go out there, and then money will come on its own accord. It doesn't mean that we just squander money, but the point is that we just go out with nothing and we just take a chance, and then Krishna will reciprocate. And there's a few examples I can give, actually two examples. One example is of the Kirtan Mela. Manu, he organized it, and there was really thousands of euros going through his hands. And then at the end, all the money came in from the cars, and then he had to pay off the drivers. And at the end of the day, he had like 1.50 euro left in his box. So Gopinath, it wasn't really his allowance, it was the profit. So the point is that, he made this huge festival, huge preaching, and ultimately he didn't make any loss, but also he didn't make any profit because it's not necessary. And I can also give you a personal example that I was a little bit doubtful if I should tell you, but I'll tell you anyway, is that I was a little bit worried. I've not so much money, basically no more money at the moment. And then I was trying to get to India. I need to get a visa. And then there is a new rule, at least in the Dutch website, and it said if you're out of a job, you need to show them a bank statement with 500 euros on it. And I was like, oh my God, funny enough. I've like 20 euros on my name at the moment. So how am I going to get 500 euros? Maybe I have to ask Vishnumurti, and it's going to be a whole thing. And I got like really like sort of fright, with my life and with Krishna. And then my mother called and she said, yes, out of the blue. And she said, I'm going to give you 500 euro. And I couldn't believe it. And it's something to do with my father. He has some, some allowance, and it's going to my mother, and she doesn't really need it at the moment. And she said, because I don't need it, I will give it to you and your brother. And it was exactly 500 euros. It's like a small miracle. And it was like exactly at the moment I was thinking that. It was like 1 or 2 hours after that, she called me up, and that was it. And she never does that. She never does that. Sometimes if I ask, I have to beg, and then she gives me like 100 euros or maybe 200. But out of her own accord, she just said, I'm going to give you 500 euros. So we just have to trust Krishna, and then he will reciprocate. And this trust, it will increase, it will increase, it will increase. And our taste also will increase. So thank you very much. Maybe there's any comments or questions. No, not necessarily. But the point is that, like for instance, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't want to see the king. Now with your family, it's different, of course. I mean, I went to my father's funeral, but I tell you honestly, I got deviated. I mean, I don't want to get into the, I want to spare you the details. It was all within the four principles. I chanted my rounds, but I got deviated. So maybe for other persons it's different. But I got deviated. So, what can I say? No, but the thing is that, can you do that? That's the philosophy, that's the theory. But you can only do so much, I stayed with my brother 1 or 2 weeks. And also some things had to be arranged. Of course, the funeral was there. But then when everything was done, I came back. I could have stayed a few more weeks. But I could just see I was gradually going down. So, if I wasn't a devotee, I probably would have stayed longer. But I could just see it's not good for my spiritual life. So I had to cut a little bit. It was a little bit tough. So, like that. Right? But, of course, you cannot neglect it. But you have to be, you have to be balanced. And therefore I'm saying that ultimately, you have to discuss these things with your authorities, with your own intelligence, and maybe with your guru, that, you know, should I stay longer, should I go, or like that? I think that is ultimately the rule, if you want to know, like, you know, because you're saying, you know, it's not really our policy. I think that should ultimately be our policy. But, you know, we have to be careful, right? Right. No, you can. But did you ever talk to these devotees that live outside? Because I talk to them on a daily basis, and it's tough. It's really tough to maintain your Krishna consciousness. I also lived outside for some time. I had no more sadhana. I chanted my rounds, and I really thought I'm gonna go and do my own Mangalartik. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. So it's not so easy, you know. Therefore, you know, the Shastra says, after 50, you must get out. You must. And the ladies, they become like, you know, you can look in Vrindavan, they become like these super austere widows. Like, they wear white and they're like sannyasis. They're totally detached. That is our future. It's a little bit tough. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe because, you know, they say Atma van Manyate Jagat, you know, maybe I'm preaching a little bit from my own perspective, because, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also gave up his family. They were pure devotees. So I mean, that's what a man needs to do. A man ultimately must be detached from his family, maybe but like I said, generally for women it's the same. You know, they also have to become completely detached. So, I mean, as far as I understand, even if they're devotees, you have to become detached, because the attachment is so great, and in one sense, it is related to the body. You know, it is just a very strong attachment. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave the example, he gave up his wife and his mother, and it was very tough. So we should not... You know, like I said, now we're still young, you know, don't worry about it now, but, you know, it's good if you know the goal, because then you can sort of go through the obstacles. Because as far as I'm concerned, at least for me personally, there are definitely obstacles. And if they're devotees, then, you know, then it's different, but still, some detachment ultimately needs to be there. Sorry. Sorry to be the bringer of bad news. Sorry? Well, she came to Jagannath, or she was in Jagannath Puri, and then... Right. Well, yeah. No, no, of course, but I mean, it's like I was discussing with Jadanandan Swami about sometimes they say that the soul is transcendental, you know, and you can have a whole philosophical discussion. And he said, yeah, you can say that, but at the end of the day, you're in Maya. He said, I'm in Maya, and you have to become, you know. How you have to go out of Maya. So you can have this whole philosophy that, you know, this transcendental, that transcendental, but at the end of the day, we are attached, we are in Maya, and we have to detach ourselves. I mean, it's a good point, but it's not all in all. No, you're not left with nothing, you're left with Krishna. That's the point. I'm sorry? No, there's so many other devotees you can associate with. Not always. There's this story of this devotee and he just left his baby. And Prabhupada says this shouldn't be imitated. So that's my point, you know, don't worry about it, you know, it's okay. But at some stage, we have to leave the baby, you know. Then the baby is maybe 20, 25 years old, but generally the mother will still see her son like that. And at some stage, and this is what happened with Sita Mahaprabhu, it had to be severed. This not in the heart. We were discussing it a few weeks or a few days ago. Tattvavit explained it, the knot in the heart. And that is family attachment. Okay, last comment. That's what you realize when you're there. But as far as I understand, the Shastra says when you're 50, at least as a man, then you have to leave. And that means that the woman also is alone. So she has to become a steer. She's forced. So once you're in there, then that is the mood. That is Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that. Okay, we've got 2 more minutes. Yes. Right. Yeah. No, no. Right. Yeah. 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 No, that's true. But, I mean, you know, Prabhupada used to preach like that. He used to say, 50, you get out. Because actually, ISKCON means Brahmana. Generally, this institution is meant for training of Brahmanas. I'm sorry, Prabhu, I got to stop here because we're running out of time. We can have another discussion during breakfast, but I got to really cut it short here. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai go premanande, hari hari bol.